Welcome back to Connecticut Inside Out, a podcast that will be free for the first 7 days, and then we need your credit card just so that you can automatically renew to Connecticut Inside Out Plus. I'm Tim Gabriel.
I'm Steve Gifford, and cord cutting.
I'm Amanda Gabriel, and I still watch NHTV. That's my favorite channel.
So, tonight's question.
So Amanda's not part of this conversation, so we're safe.
Television. What is it? Is it on computers now?
In my day, we used to get Netflix in the mail.
Is it on the internet? Is it on the,
Gramophone?
I was going to say like antennas and satellites. I don't even know if they use those anymore.
It's on its last legs, Tim. That's what it is. So I'm interested, I mean, in not only what are we all watching, but also how are we watching it? What are you guys subscribed to? Because everybody
on the TV,
everybody here is cord cutting though.
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have actual cable TV, which is weird because we can't actually watch NHTV.
But we've got Hulu, we've got Netflix, we've got Apple, we've got Paramount, we've got Max, we've got Tubi, Tim's favorite.
Tubi.
Oh, Tubi's the best.
So
Tubi Defender.
Think we're right there with you, except for the Tubi.
Tubi's free,
it's
so everybody
free,
technically
Steve.
Has Tubi.
All right, now I know that.
It is paid for by the ads.
And you can watch so many movies.
First-run movies and archives for days. Just like the most obscure things. Like, if you typed in, like, 9/11 documentary, you'd probably get about 400 results.
So, like,
you'll get all the Italian horror movies. You'll get, like, I don't know, the movie with Brad Pitt that came out in 2019. You know, whatever, you know. It's... I don't know. I could evangelize about Tubi.
Tubi sounds amazing.
I was originally anti-Tubi because their algorithm was serving me up Fox News content. Yeah. And then Tim showed me the way. I've never been happier to say that I was wrong about a platform.
Yeah. You have to know what you're looking for when you go in there.
So the only one I missed off your list there, Amanda, was Amazon Prime, but I assume...
Oh, we have that,
also,
too.
Also that.
We have all
people
the TV,
yeah.
Steve.
So we only cord cut about 4 or 5 months ago. So until then,
wait, what?
No, true story.
Wait, what?
I had a cable box until
Steve. Are you a boomer?
Yeah, I'm noticeably older than everybody else here.
No, you're not.
So we were.
You're 40, right? 40, you're close.
45.
40
That's close enough. Like you're
46
round,
in 2 months.
Round down to 40. Okay.
Can't do that. We knew we were being boomery. In fact, we had a cable remote and a remote for the Roku.
Now
and
our that is a callback.
And our children referred to the cable remote as the old people remote because they did not use it ever.
I love your kids. Kids are great.
They are little monsters and the worst.
In 10 years, it's going to
be retro.
I think
they're adorable.
And they're going to want one.
So we...
It's going to be the record player of the 2030s.
To be clear...
It just feels better on cable TV.
My 13-year-old has a record player.
It's the way it was supposed to be watched.
That's how you experience Taylor Swift.
What?
Jason has a record player in his room.
Because Taylor Swift sounds better on a record player?
I don't know that it sounds better, but you are supposed to buy all the Taylor Swift albums and then
right,
play
she
them
ruined
somewhere.
Records, but she
no,
didn't
she
actually.
Brought
She's
it.
Amazing.
She brought them back.
Well, vinyl suppliers have been like on hold with like their releases whenever Taylor Swift puts out an album.
That's probably why
she so dominates all of the plants.
Can
because
I tell
they
you?
Have to like make
I love
copies.
That for
Tim,
her.
I got to figure all of the plants is three.
Oh, there's plenty.
Sure. We only cord cut, and we were just terrified that we wouldn't be able to find things, and that's sort of true. But when you knock $100 a month off, it's a lot more tolerable to
okay. So there's
to
an
pay
app
for rentals.
Called Just Watch.
I have
you
Just
need
Watch.
To download.
I have Just Watch at your recommendation.
Okay.
It is inconsistent for me somehow. Like just find.
Well, it doesn't know everything that Tubi has.
No, that's the problem. It really is a giant Tubi sized hole in its knowledge. but all the other thing we struggle with is that. So we just use the Roku search to find things. Hey, there's a movie you want to watch. Find
it. I have a 52-point PowerPoint presentation why you should not rely on Roku search.
I'm
they're
here.
They're not using multi-turn search AI and ML.
Wow. I mean, that's their whole job, you would think.
So, like, I have thoughts on this, but I digress.
But
never mind.
It was working for Steve. I'm getting the impression
it works more or less. I'm always so we have a list of older movies, you know, from the early 2000s that our children should see. And every time I look for one, it's like, oh, it's either not there or it's just disappeared completely from the universe, or, you know, you have to pay $5 for it. It's not that good.
So this brings up a question that I have. The way that I specifically like to watch, and this is also the way I like to like listen to music and discover new things, is like I read about it somewhere. I hear it from somewhere. It goes on like a list either in my mind or like a physical list. And then I go search for it. Does anybody use the algorithm suggestions?
And you know I do, and you judge me for it.
so you are at the behest of the algorithm.
So Amanda, what's the algorithm given you recently?
What has the algorithm given me recently? Oh, who the bleep did I marry on Max? Mm. Which I got to tell you, you should watch it.
Yeah,
everybody should watch it. It's very weird, and it also like reaffirms my choice to have married my husband, which I did not need because I love him endlessly. He's a total snack if anybody hasn't seen him. But like,
we'll put a picture in the show notes.
Who the bleep did I marry is worthwhile on Max. And that was one that I never would have found if the algorithm didn't know that I also watched Love is Blind. Season 6 is bananas.
That is not a leap for an algorithm, though. That's not a deep level of analysis.
I agree. It is trashy TV where you are like ethically permitted to judge people because they know exactly what they're signing up for. It's season 6 of Love is Blind, not season 1.
Obviously, I mean,
they have had 5 previous seasons to realize like exactly how the producers were going to edit them and exactly how much they were going to be judged. So I sit and judge on my couch with complete comfort in my ethical decisions. Thank you very much.
I've noticed that on some of these shows, they're starting to incorporate, and maybe it's just because the formula is going a little dry, that they're starting to incorporate some people who are decent people and who do make good decisions, just almost as a contrast.
I feel like that is an oxymoron. You do not go on a reality TV show like this if you are a smart person who makes good decisions.
Tim, I like that. I've heard that joke sort of in the context of the Olympics. That for every event, you need one normal person doing it just to see exactly how hard it is.
Yeah, just to see.
Just for the contrast,
what
right.
What weirdos everybody yeah. else is. All right, so, you know, what else, are we, do we feel like we're staying current at our elderly age right now? Do we feel like we're up on trends on what's going on TV? Do we feel like we've completely lost it? Are we rehashing old shows?
Listen, knowing that my outfit right now is fire and that there is no cap, no lies detected, I can tell you that we are staying current. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't...
As my daughter would say, Mom, stop being cringy.
Yeah, so I don't have any idea because one of the side effects of the TV viewing fracturing like this is that you're not talking about it with anybody. Because everybody is watching very, very different things.
What if you have a podcast that meets every 2 years and then you talk about
that? That's, I mean,
or
that,
what if you're in a group chat?
That's
where you're
the leading method of suggesting things. But yeah, it's like there are no water cooler shows. The closest thing is maybe Abbott Elementary.
There are TikTok shows.
Oh, sure.
Like but, now, like when people discover stuff by people talking about it on TikTok. And in group chats. Like I was going to say that my daughter recommended to the Pride group chat yesterday that they all watched Lodge 49. Oh. And one guy was like, oh, I've seen season 1 of that.
I really thought you were going to say Euphoria.
Nope.
No, she hasn't. Nope. She hasn't dipped into that.
That's good. That's probably.
Which is probably for the best.
But also, everybody should watch Lodge 49.
Yes. What is Lodge 49? I've seen here.
Steve.
It is not even something where I'm like, oh, I've heard of that. We just haven't got around to it. This is my first time hearing it.
Yeah, it's Tim's favorite show ever.
So it's a show that's famously hard to describe, and I think that's why most people haven't watched
it. So hang on. I got to say, if you know, you know. It inspired the OO.
Yep.
Sure.
So
that actually made it less sense. I know what I do know, and I know, and I still have less of an idea what the show's about now than before.
Roughly, you're welcome.
Secret societies, okay. Surfers, late capitalism, what it's like to be poor, but it's
also VW thing.
It's like a hangout movie. Everybody that's on the show like looks like an actual person and doesn't, you know, not like a
Goldie Hawn's son.
Goldie Hawn's son is on it. Kurt Russell's son as well, who's the same person.
The greatest example of management in a fall of capitalism era.
Oh, fun. Lodge 59?
Lodge 49.
49, okay.
The title is sort of a loose reference to Thomas Pynchon's The Crying of Lot 49, which is kind of a sort of meandering book about looking for meaning in signs and symbols that exist in the universe, and coming up sort of shorthanded, but also possibly like being onto something. Which is,
I can't tell if you're describing a TV show or a 19th century novel.
Both. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Fair.
Prime postmodern novel.
Yeah.
So late 20th century.
So your TikTok comment was interesting because it is the one place where I consistently see commercials. Because
for Love is Blind.
For not on my algorithm. But like, yeah.
They're making me do it. It's China. They're making me watch Love is Blind.
But I don't have commercials on Netflix. I don't have commercials on Hulu because we fancy. Or Disney Plus. I do have commercials on Peacock.
But wait, you do have you have algorithm recommendations. Like how often do you take a look through the trending shows or the most popular shows?
Sometimes more.
Porque somos lo mismo. It's the same.
Yeah, like Netflix, but it's not because some of them are better than others. So like Netflix.
Oh, for sure. Everybody's Netflix, like sort of flirting with AI right now. Some people are not doing it right.
I don't think Paramount is even trying.
Which is fine because they have amazing content.
Sure. Well, and Paramount, I'm going to digress here. You guys turned us on to Star Trek Lower Decks.
So good.
It is very good. Never would have heard about it otherwise. And then that prompted.
I am accepting checks from Paramount Plus.
You should. Yep. But that then sent my son and I down a Star Trek Strange New Worlds rabbit hole where we watched all of that in about a month. And then I've just been watching Star Trek Discovery on my own, which turns out I should have watched that before Strange New Worlds because it's basically a prequel. Not things I would have done at all.
Everybody should be watching Star Trek, though, because it's amazing content and it's not going to let you down.
Well, I think what
if
Steve
you like Doctor
at,
Who, you like Star Trek.
There's a weird thing with a streamer like Paramount where, you know, there's a whole Star Trek extended universe that exists just on that platform. But if you go there for sports or you go there for MTV or you go there for whatever.
Sports? No, wait. Dressage?
Can I finish?
Dressage?
If you go there for those things, you're never going to see the Star Trek stuff ever because
he's mad at me.
People might be like, you know, those types of viewers might be like, I don't want to see this nerd shit in my feed.
Or if you're just not on you don't have Paramount Plus because there's 20 different streaming services,
right,
and you don't watch football, so you don't need to be on Paramount Plus.
Paramount
That's
Plus
the
is
one,
like
Amanda.
Bad at advertising themselves. Paramount and Apple are really bad at advertising because, like, Severance. Has everybody seen Severance?
So Severance is one of those on my list of yes, I'm supposed to watch it. And
Steve,
just,
you have
I know,
to
I'm
watch
supposed
it
to watch it.
As an HR professional. You have to. You're
innies
mandated.
And outies. I get it. I understand the concept. I just have it. Yes. No. It is actually interesting.
But Lessons in Chemistry, the book was better, like by a lot. And Holly, I love Brie Larson.
Yeah.
I love Brie Larson. No tea, no shade, but the book was better.
Holly did book and show, and I think she agrees with you there.
Oh my gosh, Holly agrees with me? Guys, she's a mermaid. This is for sure right
now. That validates
most
opinions.
Yes, I feel very validated, very seen.
Yeah, but one of the things that is interesting to me, though, and I feel like they're vaguely getting into it right now, but have we gotten to the point where if you have a show described to you, you can guess which streamer it's on?
Almost.
Like, do they have channel personalities yet?
I feel like there are definitely channel personalities.
Yeah. I would say in general, you can guess by some of the by what some of the like the brand of a Netflix show is. Definitely distinct from like an Apple TV show.
So I think it's tied to a persona,
but that doesn't
right?
mean
like,
that you won't find something that like has kind of an Apple TV flavor on
right.
Netflix either.
No, but like Apple TV is for like suburban white women. Like, that's their persona
they're
looking
stars.
For?
They're like, we're going to throw all the money on the table.
This is Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon in a show that nobody has ever watched.
Nobody knew existed. Yeah, exactly. Here's a show by, you know.
Well, and I think now.
Internationally acclaimed director.
I'm almost positive now Jennifer Aniston is sleeping with Julianna Margulies. I believe that is a true thing on the show.
Okay.
And Steve Carell's there, too. I think maybe.
He was? I don't know if he's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and no particular desire, but we know it's there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like,
well, nobody will ever know,
right? But Ted Lasso, like,
but yes,
is Apple, and then
no, because if you like sport, I get in trouble with the people that like sports a lot. They're like, Ted Lasso would never work, and I'm like, but let me have my fantasy.
It doesn't matter if it,
or we can talk about dressage. I don't want to talk about soccer or football or baseball. I want to talk about like. Horse dancing or Ted Lasso versions of
and then,
stuff.
But then to Tim's point about throwing money at celebrities, like Apple made a show with Harrison Ford in it as a psychiatrist.
Right.
And it was good. We liked it, but like.
We watched one episode of that.
Yeah, it was fine.
I forgot that it was on.
Yeah, that's about right. That's we went all the way through, but it's pretty low stakes for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like these things can happen and no one realizes it.
It's weird that I watched more hours of the Indiana Jones movie, which was a full 3 hours. And probably, I'm sure that show was way better than it is.
Certainly, they spent a lot more time on and effort on their scripts. And also, Marshall is a better writer than whoever did Indiana Jones Crystal Skulls anyway.
Can we take a brief digression and talk about how it's weird that Harrison Ford is married to Calista Flockhart?
Yeah. Like, no, they're all.
It's weird.
I mean,
she was in Supergirl, and she was like supposed to be like a business tycoon lady, and I was like, I don't know that I'm buying this. And also, your husband is a million years old.
I mean, RFK Jr. is married to Cheryl Hines.
That's very like.
It's just yep.
I feel like Harrison Ford would be a fun hang, though. I'm not like, you know, irregardless of age gap discourse. He seems like, I mean, he is.
You think he's got a sense of humor?
He is famously, like, through all the interviews that he's ever given, he's like stoned like 80% of the time.
Okay.
He also, in those interviews, he makes it very, very clear that he would not watch the movies that he's in.
Yeah.
That he's not a fan of science fiction.
Do I like Harrison Ford?
He's a guy who shows up and does a job and then like immediately like rips like a bong as soon as he's done.
He's like a million years old. Okay.
I don't know if he still does that. I mean, maybe he doesn't have the stamina anymore.
He was like pulling people's hearts out in like the 80s, wasn't he? In the Indiana Jones movies,
he wasn't the one that pulled the hearts out.
The joke I liked with the most recent Indiana Jones is just that the most realistic thing about it is that an 80-year-old professor is still showing up to do work.
Sorry.
So what's top of radar for everybody? What are some things that we're watching that we feel like are the things that should be the water cooler or that our hopes would be?
So if we don't start with Lodge 49, which is old, I know, but our daughter is going to ask us to leave the premises.
Yes.
If we don't start with Lodge 49, okay. If you haven't watched it, you should.
The record so reflects.
We just finished the season of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
So good.
That's on the list. Yeah.
Can I tell
it?
You, yeah. Like, Maya Erskine and Donald Glover have such chemistry. Which, I love it.
That sentence uttered without seeing the show is a wild, wild thing to say.
I agree. I had like sort of heard rumblings of this prior to watching the show. So I went in like a little hesitant. I enjoyed it. It was so fun. Highly recommend Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. If you took that just on the premise of Maya Erskine being in Pen 15.
Yes.
And Donald Glover
as a middle schooler.
Being the wacky guy from Community.
Or the guy from Atlanta. Either one doesn't go with Maya Erskine.
Yeah. It does have a little bit more of a Atlanta vibe,
okay.
I think, than it does of a Community vibe. Hiro Murai, who's one of the guys who directed most of the episodes of Atlanta, does a bunch of the episodes of, if not all of them, of Mr. and Mrs. Smith as well. They're kind of a creative partnership at this point. But so good.
So, and I enjoy that, like, Donald Glover and Maya Erskine are both very attractive people, don't get me wrong, but they're no, like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, who are just, like, you know, 12 out of 10s. And, like, these two come in and they have such chemistry and it's such a fun time. I enjoyed it so much more than the movie. I cannot even well, recommend this heavily enough.
I do kind of hate that the world we're in, I think it's starting to go away a little bit, that is so IP-based that everything has to have some kind of pre-existing property attached to it. But if you're going to do it, like, this is the way to do it. Like, in the original, it's a husband and wife who are already married, but they don't know each other, are spies, and then they wind up, like, getting each other as the target to kill. This one is a couple that gets together through a external company and is sort of matched in that way, and then they sort of become spy partners as they're becoming a married couple. And it's sort of like, it's about, like, going to a job and working with your significant other as much as it is about, like, growing a relationship, as much as it is about, like, international espionage.
It's so, really fun. It's really fun.
It's a newer non-Russian Americans.
Yeah.
But funny.
Yes. But where that show was very depressing.
It's way less dark.
Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Well, and they're married too, actually, which is wild there. So we have a lot of trash to catch up on. Whatever Below Decks there is, it rotates around, whether it's sailing yacht or Mediterranean or, I guess, original. We call all of them generically Big Boats, and we religiously watch them and then religiously double screen during it.
Because I want to be Chief Stew.
You gotta be. That's the deck crew is not the interesting thing.
But
here,
you might be like the high maintenance chef, Steve. I could see that happening.
I do like high, so speaking of high maintenance chefs, obviously the bear.
So good, Carmi.
It is, and it's, but it's wild to me at the Emmys. And I have a son who's obsessed with award shows and talk about this all the time. That show,
can we have an Oscar party?
We absolutely can. Yeah,
on the air.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
so
no, he
commit to it.
Yeah, but we have to put Matthew.
How many of the Oscar movies has he seen?
Not a lot.
Okay.
But you know, we're knocking out some more. But like, and actually, Oscars are another good example. Like, The Holdovers got everything for comedy. The Holdovers was a lovely movie, not very funny.
Yeah.
The Bear cleaned
what
up.
What was The Holdovers? What was
The Holdovers? Paul
Giamatti, kind of a sort of a Christmas movie,
like about like the prep school.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
It was very good.
It was. It wasn't a comedy. Yeah. No. But like The Bear cleaning up all the Emmys for comedies, it's like no.
Yeah.
No.
I think
season one's a downer.
In like the last 5 years, comedy just became like a half hour show.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And like, but I the you know The Bear, just one episode of The Bear where Aoudé Bri makes an omelet has inspired me to make omelets a lot.
And can I have an omelet?
Yes, you can. So yeah, but the let's
thinking about that episode, it makes me want to cry. It's such an act of kindness.
We've also it is very specific to us, but there used to be a show called At Midnight that we watched religiously, and then that went off the air, and Chris Hardwick was problematic for a bunch of different reasons. CBS just brought it back. It's on Paramount Plus, called After Midnight, with Taylor Tomlinson. It's got a lot of comedians that we like, so that's been, and that's very low stakes, easy stuff. That's also, they built it for TikTok for sure. Yeah, because they can clip it easily. The other one, Amanda, I feel like I've recommended on Apple, not for you as much as for your daughter, is Dickinson.
She hasn't watched that yet.
Yeah, it's very fluffy, low stakes. But
so she likes like a gay love story.
I know,
between,
and
like,
that's
the
why
sun and the moon.
Okay, this
so
is
we're thinking we're
this
thinking
is closeted
like,
1830s girl, so it's close.
We're thinking like, Our Flag Means Death,
sure.
We're Taika Waititi and Rhys Darby, or like Sun and Moon style. I'm thinking like, oh, what's that show about the angel?
Good Omens,
yeah. Where Doctor Who and the other guy. Our Sun and the Moon. She like loves that.
John Hamm is naked in the first episode of the second
season.
I gotta tell you though,
she like really has excellent taste in television, because hashtag Mom of the Year over here. She and I just started watching Game of Thrones. And we're fast forwarding through like the really gross,
that's probably a good idea.
Gross stuff. Yeah. But like she's like, oh, this is interesting. I wanna see like the Sept of Baelor getting blown up. That's fun. Like, I'm here for that with you, kiddo. let's do this together.
All right. Well, and any other thoughts on the state of television or the state of our relationships with our children through television?
I feel like we are slowly just rebuilding cable. We tore down cable because we hated cable. No. And now, you know, you can pay for...
Third opinion right now is that, like, we don't have search that's technologically advanced enough to account for the loss of cable television's centralized model.
Yeah.
Because all of these wonderful TV shows exist on disparate platforms. We need something like a Just Watch app for our smart TVs. However, like, people aren't thinking about the user experience, so they're making you go to a different device to figure out what app to open on your smart TV.
I think a number of platforms have tried to address this issue, like Apple TV and Amazon. You can, like, get a lot of other streamers through those services. I think what people want is sort of like a bundler that's just like, hey, make the prices go away because they keep raising every year. And like, if I'm going to do that, like, what the hell is the difference between cable? It doesn't bother
me. But then
that
kneecaps each individual application itself from the perspective of their shareholders, which so that's why that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Everybody wants their thing to be the only thing. And go back to the, you know, sort of the Netflix model when Netflix was the dominant streaming service.
And everybody who tells you that they're concerned with user experience is lying to you right now.
Yeah, we're not going back anywhere. We're only going forward, and the company's
customer service is gone.
Play well together.
Yeah, I mean, I think the user experience, Netflix is still the winner for user experience in terms of algorithm.
Oh, I hate Netflix.
It because it comes on with audio and you're very like audio sensitive.
That's true.
Autoplay is like
it's very, very aggressive.
Nothing will make me turn off something quicker than having something autoplay automatically.
But the thing that I can do on Netflix and I can't do on Paramount nearly as easily is replicate the cable experience of I'm going to put on a channel and just see what's on. Like, nobody's doing that particularly well.
Hulu's doing that.
Hulu has a little bit of it, but you got to look for the Hulu or the Paramount.
But
I agree
with you. It's like too many platforms to check for that experience, and like none of them are sophisticated enough in their personalization yet to be able to meet the need of high-end customers.
And Netflix, in terms of user experience, we have like just never pause a Netflix show because it will crash you out and you have to get back in.
HBO is the glitchiest. I mean, Max, whatever they're called now. Do not get me started on naming conventions because I will go for a full 45 minutes on the nonsense that is happening from a naming perspective right now.
Well, we can, you know, the president of HBO Max, which I will never not call it, is, you know, one of the guys who sort of mastermind the writer strike last year.
Yes. So and lost a bunch of money from it and, you know, is steadily dumbing down the HBO brand.
Yeah.
He's one of those people who like could be providing clean water security for like an entire population.
Yeah, but he's really busy killing the
like
Batgirl
Hitler
movie.
Memorabilia. Yeah.
Instead,
he's
erasing
movie.
Creative content for a tax write-off.
Cool.
That is another. So I have one more mini rant to go on here, which is the illusion of choice. And the illusion of options, because when you look at, we're talking about being overwhelmed by all of these titles and by all of these things, and they're, you know, on a bunch of different platforms and things. I've seen one study, I have no idea if it's true, that all of Netflix, if you look at every title, it still has fewer titles than an average, 1998 Blockbuster store. It just feels like it because of infinite scroll.
For movies or TV?
Yeah, like, I think for movies.
Yeah.
About that,
but
though.
But
like,
also,
I don't care how much you have. I care how much of it applies to my taste. Because I've given you enough personalized information to make good algorithms that will give me stuff that I want to watch, and you still don't. So I get to be pissed about it. Sorry, not sorry.
But there's the other piece to this is just what happens to things. So, for example, The Drew Carey Show.
Nobody cares what happened to The Drew Carey Show.
Cannot be found anywhere.
Well, okay, so whatever. I don't care about The Drew Carey Show, but I do care about this show that was called Selfie.
Okay.
Starring Karen, who played Nebula on the Chris Pratt Marvel thing. What was that? Guardians of the Galaxy. and the guy from Harold and Kumar go to White Castle, and it was such a good show.
It was a good show. I remember that show.
It was such a good show, and you cannot find it anywhere. Not even Tubi.
And I bet you will care about a show called Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared. Those are not streaming anywhere.
Judd Apatow, anyone?
Wild.
Because of music rights?
Yeah, I think Drew Carey is the same issue, yeah.
I don't care about Drew Carey. I want to just be really clear about that.
But it was an incredibly popular show that just... You know, a couple of weird decisions.
It was no Freaks and Geeks or Selfie.
Yeah, it went for actual seasons, and neither of those did.
But Drew Carey sucks. Sorry, not sorry.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, Marines are like that.
It's not a Marine thing. I'm not, like, disrespecting my country or anything.
It's an Ohio thing, isn't it?
I don't remember the Drew Carey enough to have a strong opinion.
Yes, it's an Ohio thing.
I thought so. But yeah, like, just... There was a whole thing with maybe PlayStation or something, but even when you click I bought this movie on a platform, they can just pull it. Like, it just disappears one day.
Yeah.
And you have
and
no
you
particular control over it.
And you have no control over it because you didn't spend 17 hours reading the terms and conditions.
So we're saying we should go back to physical media? Is that what we're advocating
I'm
for?
Saying we should go back to good faith efforts in order to make capitalism work. And if you're not going to do that, this is not going to work.
Okay. Well, that decision is going to go nowhere.
No, David Zaslav is a loyal listener to this podcast. I think Amanda talked him into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen. Listen.
Listen, your bottom line is one thing, but, like, you're pissing off a couple people in North Connecticut.
The massive amounts of money you spent to buy HBO and Discovery. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right, folks. Well, this has been a robust discussion. There's much to think about.
But watch Lodge 49 or my 13-year-old is going to be mad at me.
That is my ending statement. Is watch. So subscribe to AMC Plus. Watch Lodge 39.
49.
Tim's talking about the less popular
39.
And then demand that some other streamer that is better than AMC Plus pick it up for a third season. All this energy costs.